The thing is about thinking is, I thought, talking about this subject, something I've been wanting to talk about for a while, but it's a broad subject, and it's hard to really talk about it all at once, but we're going to try to hit some of it tonight, just get some perspectives on thinking, even though we won't talk about the whole concept of how to think. And some of the information I want to share, some of them I gained from being at Hope and some of their seminars, or some of the things they taught in the seminars or taught in Harold's sermons down in Fort Worth when I was down there. Some of the stuff is just things that I've learned in my life and just in growing in Christ and learning things. Other things, to be honest, to really be honest, I haven't really learned very well at all, but they're true. And so I'll go ahead and share them anyway. Let me just share the goal that I have tonight. The goal, basically, is to help us understand in the light of reality and with the power, and this is so important, with the power of the Holy Spirit, how we really can have an effective impact on our world if we'll just take some time to think. You know, I've heard so many times that it's people in our society just don't want or desire to really think. Sometimes there's just too many problems out there. And there's so many things that the world's created for, especially in our country, to take our time so we don't even have to think. We can be entertained and never have to think. And I know it's something I have to continuously be aware of. And so that's something I think that really needs to be addressed. One thing I want to share is, first, is thinking is a spiritual exercise. Thinking is a spiritual exercise. And I'm going to just mention a couple things, and then in the first part there's maybe six little parts to it. Then the first thing is we are to approach life in the midst of all of our circumstances with prayer. We're to approach life in all of our circumstances with prayer. I mean, most all of you know that, but it's really true too. One, and here's some reasons. One is that God is the giver of all wisdom. God is the giver of all wisdom. Two, that God will give us insight. Work through the power of the Holy Spirit to give us insight. God is sovereign. And Romans 8:28 is actually true, that God causes all things to work for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. And God is sovereign. And God allows circumstances to come in our lives. I didn't say God causes. Sometimes He does, sometimes He doesn't. He allows Satan to work too. And He allows circumstances to come into our lives. And through those circumstances, we can develop in our character, learn from things that happen, learn from tragedies even, and really glorify Him in the midst of tough times. So God does allow us. And I think more than anything else, He allows things to come into our lives. I know in my own life, things that were so tough that there's nothing I could do, period, on my own strength. And I had to rely on God. And sometimes He allows things to be that way in our lives for us to be simply have to rely on Him because there's nothing else we can do. And lastly, or fifthly, is that God moves men's hearts through prayer. And God really does move men's hearts through prayer. I don't know how many of you probably could testify this, but especially I heard some things at the Glen, some people when they went back and spent some extra time with God. But even just in a short prayer, there's times you'll come to God in prayer. And you know, things really aren't going that well, and it's even hard to pray, to be honest. But you spend time in prayer. You appeal to Him. You let Him know what's going on. You're even thinking for some of the things, even though it's hard. And then you spend some time with Him. Relate with Him. Let Him know what's going on in your life. And you come back from that time with God. And there's just amazing change in your attitude. Amazing change in the peace in your heart. Or at least the direction He's given you. God really does work in men's hearts through time spent with Him in prayer. And then lastly, our solutions on ourselves are not perfect. You know, our solution is not perfect. Yeah, God's given us a mind, but it's infinite. I mean, it's finite, not infinite like God. And sometimes we can only go so far with our mind. Therefore, we need His direction and grace. And we can get His direction and grace through the Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through good words from other Christians, and just learning from the reality that's out there. And then the second part of this thinking as a spiritual exercise is that we're to give God our emotional baggage so as to think clearly. Scott Haddon has shared about this a lot. Some of you one-on-one, some of you in small groups, and many of us, most of us are here in large group settings over the years. And the thing is, you know, I still have to deal with emotional baggage. And sometimes emotional baggage comes up in your life, you know, maybe this week something's coming up. And it's just there, and you really haven't dealt with it. or it just lingers on and you're not really sure what to do. And it really, it fogs and it hinders our thinking in a godly way, and thinking the way that we should go, and even giving us an attitude to go on and press on. So one of the things is, so we are to give that to God. We can't just force it away. We have to give it to God. And a lot of times God will give us direction what to do, as Scott has shared so many times. And so then we can claim God's promises and really hold fast to His truths. Now let's look at, on your little sheet, you'll have wrong thought processes. Okay, the first one, it says false dichotomies. Well, basically what I'm talking about is, what you have is, you think that you have only, or you may just be trying to force the issue, but you think you have either this decision or that decision. There's no other possible solution. It's either this or that. For example, you may be thinking, or someone may have thought, either God answers my prayer for a husband or boyfriend, or I just can't trust Him for anything, or serve Him very well. You know, that could be a thought. Or, if I don't have cash for the stereo, maybe I'll just go ahead and charge it. If I don't have cash, I'll charge it. Haven't even thought whether that's that important or not. You've already decided that you need a stereo. Another one, if I can't lead this Bible study, then I'll probably never have a ministry here on campus. You know, if I can't lead this Bible study. There's only, it's either this or this. And there's some, you know, we need to watch out in that area. And one of the biggest reasons that we do this, to be honest, is laziness. Or prejudice. One of the reasons, you know, it may be in laziness is that we justify ourselves away from doing the work we know we need to do to possibly even consider another solution. We justify it by being lazy and saying, well, it's either this or this. That's the way it's going to be. I'm not willing to do anything else but choose one of these two alternatives. Or we're prejudiced against any other possible solution. I mean, I know this is God's will for me, and if it's not, then I'm just going to farm out in life because there's no other possible solution. And you know, we really have to be careful of that. And here's a counter to that. Counter is to force yourself to think of a third option. You know, God may just be wanting and desiring to come up with a third option in your life. And, you know, with God, all things are possible, but not everything we want or desire is the only possibility. You know, God can work through some of our desires, but it doesn't mean it's the only possibility. Okay, let's look at daydreaming and self-pity. You may think, well, if I don't get this paper done today or tomorrow, then, well, I might flunk out in this class, and boy, I'm probably going to have to change my major. Boy, I might have to just drop out of school and work at McDonald's and flip hamburgers. Or maybe I won't even get a job there, and I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, your mind can really wonder, and you never. I mean, it's amazing what you can think of when you're in a little daydreaming or self-pity. And really, what you could be doing during all the time you're feeling sorry for yourself is writing the paper. It's amazing what we do. I mean, I've done it. You know, or another thing. We really did this. I lied to my friend. And you really feel bad about it, of course. And you may have even repented for it and asked God's forgiveness and even asked their forgiveness. But you're thinking, oh, man, they're never going to be my friend again. And, boy, I'm probably never going to have any more friends. You know? I mean, you know, you just start thinking all these things. Self-pity and daydreaming. You know, something may happen to you, and all you do is you focus on the problem. Man, there's so many times I just focused on my problem. All I could think of was my problem. And it's just amazing. Instead of allowing God to heal it, and then going ahead and just getting on with life. You know, the thought patterns really minimize the sovereignty of God. They really minimize also or deny the power of the cross to make things new. And they call in question God's goodness, God's grace. You know, basically we think we know more than God sometimes. And here's a counter to that. A counter to that is thanksgiving and supplication and prayer and getting after it. Sometimes just getting after it is the thing to do, but a lot of times we need to just come to God. Supplication and petition and prayer. And here's some great verses. Some of you, most of you may know these. Some of you may not. And these are excellent verses to put in your heart to help in these areas, in thinking straight, being able to give thanksgiving and petition to God. Is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And it's an excellent verse. You know, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything with thanksgiving, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, give your request to God. And the peace which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Excellent verses. And then another one is 1 Timothy 5, 16 and 17. Rejoice always, pray continuously. Always give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Does it mean I always have to be happy? No, I don't think so. But boy, there can be a peace in your heart, even in the midst of tough circumstances. Do we always give, are we thankful for everything that comes along? Well, we can be thankful for it, not that it's a good thing. But we can be thankful for what God can do through the midst of those tough times. And Proverbs 14, 23. This is the getting on with it, I think, sometimes it can apply to our lives. And that is, in all labor there is profit, but mere talk only leads to poverty. Now remember about the paper, just kind of sitting there thinking, oh no. And really we could get on with going on. Let's look at wrong goals. One of your goals may be status. At least the world out there is considering that. James 4, 6 and 1 Peter 5, 5 pretty much approach it the same way. Say that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Wealth. Maybe that's something you're really considering. Well, in 1 Timothy 6, 9 it says, those who seek to get wealth pierce themselves through with many sorrows. It doesn't mean that wealth's bad in itself, but that having a high priority on wealth can really be a rough way to go. And you've got a wrong goal there. It could be even in good things. Things in your church. Being on certain committees. Or being the kind of leader that you want to be. Or in the BSU. Or wherever. It can be in a prestigious career. Or living in a nice house that everyone takes for granted that should be theirs. We think it's our right. And so sometimes we have wrong goals. And here's the truth. And the truth is, and I think you've got it on your sheet, it says, 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment should be our goal. Godliness with contentment should be our goal. Now, I think that's one thing I'm trying to learn more and more through life is how to be content in whatever situation I'm in. And it's hard. I have to continue to give whatever situation I'm in to God, or whatever I have to God, or whoever I am to God. Let's look at wrong methods. It's pretty explainable there on your sheet, but you look at some good things, peace, joy, and contentment. Well, in our society, our formula is self-gratification. Get everything you can get out of life. And it's a very hedonistic culture, wanting to satisfy your own self. In fact, we even come up with religions that make God who we want Him to be. But the biblical formula is selfishness and service to God. And it's amazing how God really blesses us so many times in our heart, and just in the peace in our heart, when we really give ourselves to God. I think the hardest thing is actually doing it in the first place, just getting out there and having the right attitude to serve people. And it's amazing what God does through that, just in our hearts. Advancement on the job. The United States, a lot of times its formula is in self-promotion. Seizing every advantage. Pyramiding, influence to get to the top. And the biblical formula is selfless serving, faithfulness, excellence, and making others successful. Now, the world out there uses these principles a lot of times for themselves, but sometimes they use these principles. I mean, I think everyone wants to do a good job. The thing about the Christian, they should be doing things with the right motives, but do it excellently. And be able to make someone else successful if you're working under someone or working with someone. And it's amazing. We can't expect it, but God may give us the promotion in that place that we work. We may get to the top of the company, say, but there's no guarantee. We can't expect it. Just because we go out and serve God the right way doesn't mean we have to expect that we're going to get it. There's a lot of different, even Christians out there saying, boy, if you just do this for God, He will bless you with all these things or with this position or whatever. That's not true. Yeah, you'll have blessings. But if you just go out there to seek for the blessings, then you've missed them. Only the glory of man will that be. And so, it may even relate more. For example, some of you are going to have a temporary job this summer and it may not pay very well, maybe even repetitious, just to make enough money to help you come back to college or do some things you've been wanting to do. And so it's hard sometimes for you to have an attitude of doing it the best way possible. I mean, you know, I've struggled in some jobs, but I know one job is kind of interesting. My job was a very technical one, and I had to use my mind. I had to pull railroad spikes out of railroad ties for 10 hours a day for 3 weeks. Boy, it took a lot of my mind. But, you know, I did that in the best possible way to keep the right attitude. And the other two guys, gripe. You know, I was thinking about the nice suntan I was getting. You know, most of the time, not always. But it was tough. The thing about it is, and not that I expected or anything, or that we can't expect it, but God really honored that in relating to people, sharing with people, and gave me, eventually I got a great job. I mean, to me, in the coal mine, a great job was driving this big truck, and that's what I got to do. It's kind of scary, but it doesn't mean that I would have got that job. I may still have been pulling railroad spikes out of railroad ties, and God would still honor that in other ways. So, another thing is handling messes. U.S. formula, basically, is to express yourself. Find someone else to blame. Cover your tracks. Or even run away. You know, it happens a lot in marriages today. You know, a biblical formula is to confess sin to God and accept forgiveness, accept responsibility, compensate if necessary, and defer to others. And a lot of times we face tough situations and that's the way we handle them. But it's amazing if we just rely on God. And if we've done something wrong, confessing to Him, turning away from it, how God can really work through that. Now, let's look at the area it talks about. We must allow our thinking to be productive. I want to come back to a positive area instead of thinking about wrong thinking and wrong goals. Let's look at the positive way, a positive way to be productive in our thinking. One thing, you know, fairly quickly is just, you know, you all are very creative. I've heard some of your ideas. I've seen some of your creativity. I've seen you follow through with things. It's tremendous. But I bet you this, is that many of you probably come up with some ideas, some thoughts of how you could have a ministry or just how you could do better in this subject or just an idea to help serve someone. You think about it in the shower or you think about laying in bed or think about where you're jogging or when you're shopping or whatever you're doing. You know, but you have these thoughts or in class when you're daydreaming. And but the thing about it is you forget to write it down or something or you don't, you know, and it's hard to remember. You think you're going to remember later, but you don't. And it's gone. Well, here's a few suggestions. Is spend some time really thinking, trying to get some insights, and then write thought or idea down. Secondly, is think and pray over it. Is it godly or ungodly, or are you not sure about that idea? Sort it through. Be realistic. Fourth is you may want to tell someone else, and one of the reasons why you might want to tell someone else is to get them to help you to do what you're going to do. That's great. Delegate a little bit of responsibility, but get someone to help you. You know, don't just do it all on your own all the time. You might need some good counsel just to kind of know how to go about it if you're going to go about it or if you need to go about it. Another thing is just some accountability. Someone to say, hey, I'm willing to kind of help support you and kind of help you stick to it. Basically hold you accountable to it in a very godly manner so that you'll go ahead and do the idea because it's something you came up with and you really want to do it. But I know that I've come up with some great ideas. But I really wanted to do them, but you know, I didn't do them. I just didn't think about it, and I either didn't write it down or I didn't get someone to help hold me accountable to it. And then another suggestion is just go ahead and do it. Now, the thing about it is that you may need to follow a plan. Sometimes that can really help. But you all have great ideas, but. You know, one suggestion is go ahead and write them down and do some things with them. One thing, too, that helps me the most, I think, in just ideas of how to be the right kind of husband, and, you know, I really It's a struggle to be the right kind of person in any situation, the right kind of Bible study, the right kind of BSUer, or churchman, or churchwoman, whatever, because we have these ideals, and we want other people to think that we live these ideals, and to be honest, we're failing so many times. But the thing about it is, what gets really exciting for me is when I spend time in the Word and I'm meditating on God's Word, He gives me ideas. I mean, sometimes I have to bring my little daytime or whatever with me and just write down little things that He brings to my mind. Maybe just an application to what I read. Maybe a challenge to me that's really hard. It's really hard, but you know, this is something I need to really consider and give to God. Write it down and then pray about it. But meditating on His Word is a great way to get some great ideas, to serve people, whatever it is. And then think about what you believe. Think about what you believe. Why do you believe what you believe? You know, in fact, Barbara even kind of asked that question when she was sharing her testimony. You know, why do you believe in certain things that you do? You know, just spending time with God. You know, it will be tested. It will be tested. If it hasn't already, it will be tested in the future about what you believe. You know, if you're going to get out there in society, if you're going to share Christ with people, and hopefully you will, if you're going to get out there and live and stand on God's promises in your life and live as much as you possibly can and are still growing and living that godly life, you're going to be tested. And if you have already, yeah, you're going to be tested again and again. It's just a constant thing. And God really works through it. You know, one thing is I wasn't really growing when I was in high school. I was in a non-Christian home. I had become a Christian when I was younger. And all these things had happened, and I pretty much was somewhat apathetic. I'd come to God in prayer at times, sometimes with needs, sometimes just knowing that I wasn't doing what He wanted me to, but not really motivated to do anything about it. I went to church a few times, but basically didn't go to church. No one else did that I knew. And but I met these friends. Most of my friends were Mormon. There was a lot of Mormons in my school. And boy, their lifestyle was really neat. They were sharp people. They were fun. Their families were great. They had great families. They were very success-oriented and did well. They were like a fraternity somewhat. Tremendous people. Really friends. Real good friends. I mean, excellent guys. You know, in a state of kind of just wondering what I was doing in life, I thought, you know, I want to become a Mormon. I mean, they got to be. I mean, people that good have to be Christian, even if they are Mormon. And you know, I really thought so. But it's, you know, grace of God, because, you know, there's just amazing how He protected me through the power of His Holy Spirit. But, you know, I spent some time sitting down, thinking through it different times, or maybe just contemplating on it. And God really revealed to me, hey, this is not true. This is not true. And later I went and found out why it's not true. And it really helped me rely on His promises. Not long after that, I was really growing in the Lord. And it really motivated me. I was really tested in my own mind by what I really believed, and I had to check it out. So here's some questions. Why do you believe, and you know, you can or cannot, you know, may not want to write these down, but why do you believe in spending time with God? Why? You know, I mean, you might do that because people told you to, but why do you? Why do you do scripture memory? Is it because you might get status in the BSU? You know, what's your motive? You know, why is there pain and suffering? Someone may ask you that. You probably thought of it yourself. Why is Christianity the only true religion? Or really, is what you believe Christian at all? Have you ever been challenged? And those are tough questions, some of them. And one thing that can help you do is go to Scripture and find out what it says. Find out, just going to God, praying, spending time with Him, from other godly people and what God has revealed in their hearts and just experienced in their lives, and other helps that can just give you some insight. And, you know, and even just understanding where people are coming from. You know, a guy named Larry Bruce was, he was a professor, doctoral student at seminary, and boy, one of the most amazing guys I've ever met in my life. He'd only been to seminary 3 years. He'd only become a Christian 3 years before that, too. And he went to seminary like 6 months after he became a Christian. And the guy had a brilliant mind. He was a genius. He'd fought in Vietnam War, and the jet, you know, he was a jet pilot, and he was designing jets, and when he became a Christian, it was an amazing story, but I won't share that now. The thing about this guy, he is so sharp, he was had such a great mind, and all these things, but yet he's extremely humble. And the guy, the thing that impressed me most about him probably was his faith in prayer. But one of the things that really touched my heart when I was sitting there and talking with him, he says, you know, Dennis, he says, so many times people come to seminary and they don't think. They just want to come and have people tell them what to believe. You know, and it's not that it's bad to hear what we need to know about a Christian faith. But we need to find out, like the Bereans did in Acts 17:11, to find out what, you know, someone tells us is true, and check out the scriptures and examine them. And so, you know, a lot of times we need to find out what do we really believe and think. Three is to listen to what other people have to say, even to those who may not know Christ. Sometimes we just think all we've got to hear are people that know Christ. Well, first of all, say the person that does know Christ, and he's sharing some things with you. Maybe me. And I share something, and you don't like what I said about something. You disagree. Or maybe I'm off scripturally about something. And you get in your mind, and I've done this. Believe me, I've done this. You get in your mind, oh, I'm just going to throw out everything else they say. God can't teach me anything through that. I mean, he's in error, or I don't like what he said, and I'm not going to learn. I'm just not going to listen. I'm going to work on my scripture memory or something. And I've done that. And, you know, one thing is to try to gain at least some truth that God is trying to teach you, even if you disagree with a person in some of the areas he's talking about. There's probably something God can teach you. And it's hard to have an attitude like that. It's something you have to give to the Lord constantly. Another thing is to, with non-Christians especially, is find out where people are. Listen to them. Hear what they have to say. Hear what their philosophy in life is. Or just ask them what's going on in their life. Find out what their needs are and what's really important to them. And maybe along the way you'll find out some of the misconceptions about Jesus. A lot of people that don't believe or are even fighting God on campus have a lot of misconceptions that we could help in a very godly manner without getting into an argument. And a lot of times listening to people help us. Let's look at using our God-given ability to think with the help of the Holy Spirit in different situations, problems, desires, in the midst of emotions. That's on your sheet, isn't it? Okay. Well, here's... Now, this is a repeat of a few things when I talked about just having some ideas. But I think these will really apply to you, and especially when we get into strategy. And one is, take time to think and pray, which we just talked about. Give the thought to God. Sort through what is true. And then, and again, back to what we talked about before, you may need to write these thoughts down. Or just what's going on in your life. The problem, the situation, the confrontation, the circumstance. Write it down and give it to God and think about it. But one of the things is also is to think strategically. Now, when I say this, sometimes we hear this word and we think, oh, that's the way Dennis operates. He's kind of one of those program type people maybe, or a structured type person, and I'm not really like that, so you know that's not going to help me. What I'm saying is that we need not to go out and treat a non-Christian as a project. He'll see through it if we just treat him as a project. And we need not treat our other brothers and sisters in Christ as someone that we're going to make just like us. Boy, hopefully they're not going to be just like us. You know, but there's some things we can model in their lives and help them become more like, as long as it's being more like Jesus. The thing about it is that we don't need to make clones. We need to love people and help them be the kind of people that God wants them to be. And that's the key. The real key there is to love people with the power of the Holy Spirit. And your motivations are from the love that Holy Spirit gives you, not from trying to make them a project. Or just trying to get them to become more and more like you. Now, one of the things is we can still strategically help people either know Christ or grow in Christ if we follow or make up a plan. We can. Now, this plan doesn't have to be so systematized and you get it on your computer and you write it out and you print it out and you put it on paper, put it on the board and all these other things. It doesn't have to be that complex. You know, and some people just aren't that way, and that's fine. Some of us need a little bit more of a plan that's a little bit more drawn out. But whatever works best for you to become the kind of person God wants you to do and to also achieve some of His purposes and think through. But one of the things we can all do is to plan. And think strategically with the right heart attitude. This is one of the last things I'm going to share before I conclude. And it's a story of a friend of mine I met again last Tuesday. He's a non-Christian friend. I met him at the first of the year. I've done a lot of things with him. We've talked about Christ many times, too many times probably. In my mind, the way I felt like I was really making him a project at times. And I didn't want that to happen. But we've talked about Christ. He's been at our house. He's been around other Christians. We've played games together. We've talked together. We've studied the Bible together. He's asked lots of questions. And I've tried to answer them the best I could. And it's really been a great time. Well, we got together Tuesday night. He met a friend for a few minutes. The friend left. And I talked a little bit. Just about how things are going, because he asked me how things are going. My whole motivation was not to come in and say, okay, well, I'm going to have another time that I'm going to share the gospel, and boy, he's probably not going to become a Christian, but I'm going to do my duty. You know, it wasn't that at all. My whole motivation at this time, how the Holy Spirit was leading, is I just need to lay off. And I just want him to know that I care for him, I love him, the love of God. I'm very interested in him, and I want to know how things have been going. We haven't been together in a couple months, and I want to know how things are going. And, you know, I didn't know what his schedule was going to be like, but I want to make sure I got his address before he went back to Europe and make sure that I could write him and just see how he was doing. And it was really neat. We talked. I did all this. And I didn't really have any plans other than what I just told you. And then just came out of my head. I said, well, Soren, you know, he's going back to Europe. But, you know, I found out what his major was going to be. I said, what's your ultimate goal in life? And he told me, well, to have a family, to make enough money to be comfortable, to, you know, be pretty happy. You know, those are pretty good. And I said, well, that's neat. And I was getting ready to ask him another question. He said, Dennis, how about you? And so I took the opportunity, and I shared with what you think I'd share, really what my real motives were, without throwing out a whole sermon. And basically to serve God and to help other people know Him. That's basically what I said in about two or three sentences. And he said, and I've talked to him about this stuff a lot, but he said, well, who helped you to come to this point where you believe this? And, you know, I shared with him some of the reasons from some of my childhood and then some of the things that's happened in my life in the last 5-6 years. And it was really interesting. He was trying to find out about my life. We shared some neat things. I asked him some questions. And I talked to him. I said, you know, Soren, most of you don't know him, but anyway, he doesn't mind. He knows. I tell him I share with my friends about him all the time, but he still didn't stay away from me. So he said, first of all, I said, Soren, I love you as a friend. And, you know, whether you accept Christ or not, I'm still going to care for you. And I really care about how your life goes. And I really enjoy doing things with you. I enjoyed this year. And I just want you to know, I'm going to pray for you, though, that you come to know what really truth is all about. He has no motivations. I mean, he thinks what I'm saying is true, but he's not sure. But he doesn't really care about checking out what's really true, even checking out other religions. And that's, you know, he wants to be good, and that's his goal, and that's where he's at. So I said, I'm going to pray for you, that you'll know what truth really is. He said, well, you know, I'm probably not going to do much about that right now, but I really would like to know truth, and I'd appreciate it if you did pray for me. And that was really exciting. And then the next thing he says is, Dennis, he said, you know, you've talked to me about this jam ball you do at your house. You know, Willie's gone over there and played, you know. And I'd like to do that too. So when you're gonna do this anytime soon? I said, sure, I'm sure we can get something going. And so he took the initiative to get with me. And then he asked me about three other times for some other things to do. And it was real exciting to me. And I think when he saw that I really cared for him, it made a difference. And one of the reasons made a lot of difference is I thought beforehand, before I went to even see him, I spent some time thinking and praying through what can I do best in his interest. And, you know, one thing, and lastly, is to be realistic. Be realistic. You're going to fail a lot of times in this area, just in the walk in the Christian life. You know that. Proverbs 24:16, it says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again, but it's the wicked that are brought down by calamity. Yeah, you're going to fail. And you know that. But it's amazing how God can work through even our own failures to learn from those experiences and then to be able to turn away from them, even though we still have to battle temptations in those areas and sometimes even give in again. God knows where our hearts are. And as long as we continue to give our lives to Him without trying to pick ourselves up by our own power, He'll continue to work and help us grow and know Him better. So in conclusion, thinking in the light of the reality that we live in the world that we live in, and leaning, and this is so important, this is, if I want to pass anything on, this is the most important thing because it's meant the most of my life in the past year, is leaning on the power of the Holy Spirit. Thinking in the light of reality and leaning on the power of the Holy Spirit, and then being involved in the world around us, can be an exciting experience. Can be so exciting. May not always be enjoyable, but it can be exciting. And so I really challenge you to use your minds the way God's given to you. Realize you're limited, but yet He has a lot of blessings for you if you just sit back, think, and meditate on His Word and just some things that He's brought to your life.